show, Five Shark Fam. I'm AJ, and this is Mark. And wherever it is you get your pods, subscribe, share, and leave us a good rating.
This segment is sponsored by Thinking Man Tavern, a cozy Decatur neighborhood pub. Grab a tasty beverage from a wide variety of selections and a plate of something delicious from the menu. To go, check out Thinking Man Tavern.
Welcome to another episode of Five Stripe Weekly, and Atlanta United, they're struggling as of late. It's result-wise not what we all want as fans, but a little bit of an auspicious start as well to this one against CF Montreal at Stade Saputo. And Atlanta United, they concede early from a set piece. Pause. If you've heard this before, it's just something that this iteration of LA United, I guess it's part of it. We don't have the size. We don't have the guys that can really deal with headers inside the box. And yeah, you know, yet another goal conceded from a set piece. A little bit shambles when it comes to that, when it comes to defending, when it comes to clearing the balls out of the box. Just you know, maybe not the urgency, not the hunger enough to want to do that, want to get the ball clear from inside the box. And maybe it's a little bit of that, you know, the without Braguzan as well in this one. You know, you're going to lack a little bit of that leadership, a person to make sure the guys are in the right spot, too. So, yeah, I mean, at the very least, though, at the start of this match, Luis Araujo got that start. Franco Ibarra got that first start in the league as well. And, Alan Franco, he returned to the 11, but still too much chopping and changing. Mark, what were your thoughts on a whole about this CF Montreal match?
Yeah, it's, I think you said it, you know, I think you summed it up. It's another struggle, you know, and I do think, look, we came on here on this podcast last couple of weeks and, you know, talked about how the play at least was improving and so on. I stick by that, but this was a huge step backwards. And I think when you look at the season as a whole to this point, there's been more bad performances than good. You know, as I mentioned before, like, yes, we've gotten the golazos, right? We've gotten the special goals. We got another one in this game. I mean, Moreno from that angle, you know, catching the inside of the post, and it's just creeping. It's an excellent shot, right? Mm-hmm. But it's just the fact that it's really become a case of, like, that seems to be the way that this team is more than likely going to score. And when you're having those struggles in attack combined with the struggles in defense, and it's the thing, it's like, I think you nailed it there too. A good defense is organized, and that's what worries me about Atlanta United so much, is that we're just not organized. We're at 6-7s. It's just as simple as getting a ball in the box and then, you know, and creating pressure from there. And that's what Montreal did time and time again. So it's frustrating. And you do have to wonder, yes, it's early in the season, right? Mm-hmm. I still believe this is a playoff team, but, mm-hmm. you know, if that's it, that's pretty disconcerting.
Yeah, I mean, and to your point there, that it's early, it's a very forgiving league in that sense, but there is, if you play well, you better damn well get some results, because that's what's going to be frustrating later on in the season if we are ruining points, and, you know.
Just like last season.
Exactly, and that's exactly what we don't need. We'll get into, I think, some of the other in the weeds, but I think, yeah, that big caveat here is that, yes, there is more and more chop and changing in this 11. I think the more that we have continuity, the more that Gonzalo Pineda knows his best 11, and those players that are in the 11 can put the ball in the back of the net with regularity, I think it bodes better for Atlanta United. And it seems like at least this 11 seems at least probably one of the strongest that we've fielded It's just another one of those ugly heads rearing around the corner here, and that is, yes, we are not clinical in the final third, and it's really hurting us. I mean, we have to rely on hero ball, essentially, because the good chances that we got, we didn't put them away. And that's those are those moments where we are ruining at least those goals that eventually, yeah, undo us in a match that seemingly we had some control over. Now, did we, did we show the absolute full potential or anything like that? I mean, I don't think so. Luis Araujo looked every bit of not match fit, still trying to work his way back. Now, I mean, you know, it is also, it's a side in CF Montreal that they're struggling too, and the fact that we just essentially allow them to bully us in the box and more or less smash and grab for these points, it's another frustrating thing. But, you know, that second goal for Montreal, that's where it's super duper frustrating. Like, we just can't clear the ball. Like, it's something where, I mean, if it's a little bit of this, I think, you know, we're undersized in the box, but there's not enough hunger for a clean sheet. And I think, you know, there is some sort of stat around the league that offense is down this season as well. And actually defense is kind of king almost in a way. But it is, I think you're noticing that. You're probably seeing a lot of attackers getting moved out of the league in a way. And then, you know, you have the likes of Douglas Costa and Jordan Shaqiri, who we'll talk about later on, coming to the league. Are they finished? are they guys that can now no longer make an impact in this league? And, you know, those young attackers are being moved on into, Europe, etc., etc. That could be one of the symptoms, too, of, you know, what's going on. But either way, yeah, this lineup, I think, especially, yeah, you saw the return of Matheus Setu as well. You know, supposed to be a guy that can keep us ticking as well, but, you know, it's just too many guys that are coming back into the team, and there's just not enough continuity, I think, ultimately. But it begs the question, is this, should we be giving Gonzalo Pineda more time, you know, to allow these players to get acclimated together? Is it on him that they are not gelling? They're not putting the ball in the back of net? I disagree. I mean, I don't think, clinical ability is on the coach. But, yeah, you can work on finishing all you want. But, you know, real life, real game situations are always different. But, yeah, what do you think? Gonzalo Pineda, there have been some calls for his head. Maybe also, you know, Boca and Eels. That's a maybe separate conversation. But for Gonzalo Pineda, what do you think?
No, I don't think it makes sense to call for his head. He hasn't even been here a year yet. I know, yeah. People will say that Ainsa didn't get a year, which, you know, fair enough. I think there were other, you know, mitigating circumstances in terms of, I mean, certainly like the Joseph fallout was a big part of that. And the violation of the CBA was concerning. And I think it gave them cause in that sense. But, you know, it's this, like, I think the team is still fighting for Pineda and playing for Pineda. So, you know, like, that's typically one of the telltale signs of whether or not a coach should be let go. But, you know, if you were to make that move, then where does Atlanta United go from here? Because it would be yet another coaching change. And, you know, at some point, like at that point, if you're having that conversation, then you have to be talking about Bocanegra and Eels for me. You know, I think the most concerning thing about Atlanta United right now is just that we're kind of easy to play. Like, I think the game plan is actually pretty straightforward. I think Montreal did what they wanted to do, you know, like allowing Atlanta United to have the ball. And the manager actually referred to this after the match, like, you know, playing, defending solidly, I think, as he put it, but allowing us to have the ball, like, it's not really a threat to them. Yeah. And so, you know, like, they had, and you pointed this out when we watched the match together, they had twice as many shots in the box as we did. And you look at this, I'm looking at the shot map now, like, a lot of our shots are at an angle, you know, like, kind of difficult. And Montreal just has a bunch of shots right in front of goal. And that's how, I mean, that's how you win games, you know. And I think in this match in particular, like, that we actually didn't create the chances. I felt like, and we've seen this in previous matches, I think, you know, they have no problem transitioning the ball, getting into the final third, right? Guys like Moreno, Almeida, Araujo, you know, they look good in space. They can beat one or two guys, but more often than not, there aren't numbers. You know, the attack peters out for one thing or for one reason or another, and it just slows down. It gets bogged down. I think there is some chemistry issues, I think, especially with the attacking three. As I mentioned, Reyna, Amanda, Araujo, I think a lot of times they end up in the same space. And, you know, Araujo, as you mentioned, maybe isn't sharp yet. So, you know, we'll see how that develops. But then there's this too. I mean, you know, we've, in terms of midfielders, you know, there are options, as we've seen Sosa, we've seen Ibarra, we've seen Josetu, you know, but other than Ozzy, it hasn't, you know, none of them have been great so far this season. So a lot of them, and I think they all have already dealt with at least one injury so far this season. So sure, you know, it's probably a bit of that as well. But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting too, you know, the theory about us being undersized, because we certainly talked about the center back position, and I do think a lot of that goes back to Bocanegra. Right, like, so we've seen Franco again in versus Montreal. You know, did he make an impact? You know, like, did he play like the center back that you go out and spend DP money for? You know what I mean? So I don't know. It's kind of grim right now. Again, like, there's a lot of season left to be played. It's still a very talented team, but that's pretty much, I think, the only reason to you know, believe in this team right now.
And I think there's also this caveat, is that it's a month full of road trips. It was away day after away day, and yeah, in MLS, yeah, being at home is the stronger play. It's always going to be, in terms of getting more points, you're going to get more points at home. And so the fact that we were able to get some points on the road this month is a good thing, but I think that exacerbates a little bit of stuff right now too, just how difficult it is to play on the road in MLS. But yeah, getting to your other point of how the midfield, who's our best midfielder, like who are our best pair of midfielders, like, we don't know, like, yeah. And it's also, yeah, Emerson Hyman coming back. Yeah, you got a bunch of guys that are auditioning for the starting gig. And I think it'll be interesting to see who ultimately wins out on those spots. I think, unfortunately, it will have to be one of Hyman or Josetu and one of Ibarra or Sosa. You know, Sadich is going to kind of play a part in there somewhat as well. But I don't think he's got a starting shout, unfortunately, with all due respect to him. But and it's that, like, you know, Ronaldo Cisneros, he's still getting used to this league. He's putting himself in the right position, but there are some moments where he's able to get on the score sheet, of course, which he did against Inter Miami. But in this match, there were some chances that were rude as well. It's I think it's not quite time to call for Gonzalo Pineda's head, but I think if you see another month where we do not gel and we have everyone healthy, I think we can start visiting this conversation, seriously. But this match, as frustrating as it is, Yeah, hopefully it's just an April that was a bit lackluster. We're still trying to find our bearings, and hopefully we get into midsummer form very, very soon. You know, with the players that we do have in the squad. But yeah, any final thoughts for this?
Mostly said what I need to say, yeah, or is what I felt, you know. You know, I hope it improves. You know, it can only go up from here, to be honest with you. So, I guess, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, because it's that. It's the, it's too much of the U-shaped or horseshoe-shaped passing that's in and around the box, and then we end up going wide to, you know, cross high at players that are not tall, and you know, it just becomes a thing where it's predictable. It's very easy to defend when you don't have guys that are, you know, either a hulking center back. Well, we do have Miles Robinson, George Campbell when he's in, but beyond that, you know, you don't have guys that can really make their mark known in the box. So it's definitely something that we need to improve. Maybe short corners, maybe it's, you know, playing the Tata way, where you know, it's not as straightforward as you know, we have been playing it recently. And yeah, you know, we'll hopefully regroup and be able to play better, get the results in future matches. But because I can't see this going on for too much longer, there has to be adjustments made, essentially. But that does it for this match review, and our next match is against Chicago Fire at the Benz on Saturday, so we will cover that later in this episode. But that gets us into the news, and the news for this week is that Rocco Rios Novo, the stash, is back. The 19-year-old goalkeeper who was one of the heroes of our previous CCL campaign, well, he has returned on loan for the 2022 season. And yeah, much to a lot of people's delight, I would say, because yeah, he definitely showed ability on the ball, and he also showed some clutch goalkeeping as well for us. And of course, this comes on the heels of Brad Guzan and his season-ending injury. He was put on the season-ending injury list, and that pretty much paved the way for some of the you know, this move at least. And well, the transfer window is ending, at least this first transfer window. So, you know, there might be some moves maybe later on in the year, but at least for the interim, it probably seems like this is where we're going to end up with our squad. Matthew Hopp probably is going to be, you know, if he's going to be brought in, it will be a little bit later on, unless a, you know, breaking transfer comes in during this, you know, the end of this window. But yeah, Rocco Rios Novo, what do you think?
I mean, I think it makes sense, you know, to at least give him a chance to, you know, win the position, essentially, you know. I guess at this point, Atlanta should be doing their due diligence, because it's a devastating injury, yeah, to be honest. So yeah, it makes sense. Obviously, you know, they've already had a little bit of experience with him. You know, what's interesting is that he wasn't really playing with Linus, so we'll see if but you know, if he's able to earn the job and you know, sort of kind of show out, I mean, I think it's worth a look at least. You know, he is a bit undersized, so there's that to it, but we've seen undersized keepers succeed before. You know, as long as his other skills can sort of make up for it, I guess you'd have to make up for it with positioning as well. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm not a goalkeeper expert, but yeah, you know, it's intriguing. And, you know, I'm kind of rooting for him.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he definitely was quoted as saying that, so my goal is always to be at the top. He said, so I think Bobby Shuttleworth is a very good goalkeeper, and I think training with him is going to help me improve a lot. But I just, like at every club, there's always healthy competition, and that's always my goal. He also said that I feel very confident in my abilities and my qualities. He says, I have a contract until the end of the year, and after that, we'll see what happens. But I'm very focused on the present. As I said before, I'm just really happy at the opportunity and trying to do what I can to get better every day. And yeah, definitely in the USL last season, he was one of the best players in the league. And saving a lot of points for Atlanta United. So it is, if you can extrapolate that into MLS when he gets the chance, yeah, it should be quite interesting to see how well he does. So yes, definitely rooting for the stash. He definitely plays beyond his years, especially, you know, goalkeepers. You age like fine wine usually as a goalkeeper. But with this, 19-year-old, I mean, he could still feasibly grow.
That's true. Yeah.
That's the crazy part. But anyway, moving on from that, congrats to Noah Cobb, the 16-year-old homegrown who, or not homegrown, but he is an academy player for LA United 2. He got called up over the weekends and he was part of the squad. I mean, that's just amazing stuff. Like, 16-year-old defender, he got called to be, part of the squad on the bench. And he very well, could have, had to play a part if necessary. And so that's, it'll be very interesting to see how many times, he might, come play a part if we need him in a pinch. So it'll be very, very fascinating.
If he's going to be, if he's part of the match day squad, you got to figure he's training with the team leading up to that. And that in itself is, that in itself valuable. So, I think it shows what the club think of him, to even like put him in those situations. So very, very curious, to see how this season progresses for him.
Absolutely. And so, it'll be very cool to see if, another teenager, part of the squad, making waves. Very, very awesome. And moving on from that, our EMLS squad, Paolo Neto and Vini Lieva, they were part of another tournament. They made their way pretty far, and unfortunately, only made it into the semifinals. But they were, these two guys are definitely doing quite well for LA United, and hopefully they can continue and keep breaking through and get some more trophies in the cabinet for the club. But that does it for the news, and it gets us into the match preview. So this Saturday, it's going to be against Chicago Fire at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And we're finally back at the Benz. It's been a minute. Hopefully, I'm gonna be honest, hopefully that roof is not open, because
it is quite hot right now.
Yeah, it's quite hot. I'm gonna it's a midday match. I've been there where I just, I'm on the borderline of passing out when that sun is like just beating down against you. So
it's brutal.
Yep. Let's keep that AC going. No passing out for any people, at least from sun. So in terms of the Chicago Fire, they're kind of an enigma a little bit. They have, on paper, a pretty strong attack, and their midfield seems like it should be a strength. In defense, it's like, okay, all right. But they're one of the better squads in terms of defensively, but in terms of attack, it's a strange one. But key departures from last season, Robert Berich, one of the two DP departures, Francisco Calvo also left, and Alvaro Madron. also departed as well. But the key acquisitions, of course, Jerdan Shaqiri, of course, of Liverpool and Stoke City fame, and a little bit of Barca, I believe. Where
I think at Bayern, right?
And Bayern, yeah. I mean, yeah. He's got that that big team pedigree, that's for sure. But yeah, he's their number 10 this season. Yeah, I mean, I'm not exactly lighting up the league, but you know, definitely a player that is going to be dangerous and a danger man for us to keep an eye on, though. But I mean, he's pretty much like the he's built like a brick house and only like 5'5".
Right. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Like, beware your knees, essentially, if you ever encounter him on a pitch, I would say. But but yes, also Jairo Torres, he is a young designated player, and he just arrived this past Sunday. And yeah, a guy that's probably likely is going to play, at least according to their head coach. I mean, I think... yeah, they're pretty much saying that we need to be ready. He's here to play. So, okay. All right. We'll see what the young DP can do against us. Hopefully not too much. But, yeah, also Kasper Zbyrko from Philadelphia Union. I mean, the fact that the Philly Union got rid of Zbyrko and then, you know, brought in new players, and they were pretty much undefeated for a little bit of time. I mean, holy crap.
Right.
Like, that's... It kind of speaks volumes on, like... I mean, Zbyrko was killing us pretty much every single time he played against
right.
us. Right. And, yep, now he's against Chicago. Hopefully he doesn't awaken, you know, against us. Mm-hmm. So, hopefully that's not the
maybe,
case.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a case of Philadelphia was making him a little bit, you know? Who knows?
Ooh, okay. We shall hope, but
yeah, right.
At least maybe not against us anyway. He can, you know, light up, after us, but, also John Duran also is another player that they brought in, and Rafael Chichos. But yeah, I mean, it's a pretty youthful team, so it kind of makes sense a bit, why they might be a little bit inconsistent, but it seems like, yes, they are definitely trying to, you know, bring in some big names and also some MLS veterans to, I think, make it worth the while to bring in a player like Shaqiri. You know, it's kind of like that, that Wayne Rooney type of thing where, you know, you bring in a big name and you got to fill out the rest of the roster a little bit too. Otherwise, why do you bring him in? It's just,
yeah,
there's no point. But yeah, in terms of the predictions around the East for them, yeah, they're around kind of mid-table, kind of mediocre in terms of those expectations, as high as 7th and as low as 11th. So, you know, I think a team that's just on the fringe of making the playoffs. So, you know, kind of where they're at a bit right now. And, you know, I think it's a chance for us at home to, you know, maybe not encounter a trap game and do the business. But getting into our starting 11, so getting in through the lines together, Shuttleworth, of course, but who's in your back line?
Yeah, I think you roll with the same back line as last week. So Lennon, Robinson, Franco, and Guzman. Or Guzman, sorry. Think you just have to, you know, because as you were saying, you don't want to chop and change too much. But obviously, individuals need to improve. I guess communication probably needs to improve as well. Yeah. I think you roll with it again.
Yep. Yeah, likewise, I'm with that as well. Same back four. Into midfield. Yeah, I mean, who do you got?
I think Sosa makes his return, and I think Josetu retains his spot. We saw him start versus Montreal, and I think, you know, it's like you were saying that, you know, that person is going to keep it ticking, but I guess we haven't seen the Sosa Josetu pairing yet this season, and I guess it'll be another new pairing in that sense, but, you know, we've got to keep trying until something works.
Yeah. I mean, Ibarra and Josetu, I think, played decently. I think it's just a matter of, Yeah, maybe we weren't getting enough connectivity between the lines a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I see that. Hosetu and Sosa, that's a very, very good shot, I think. I think Ibarra and Sosa, I think Ibarra plays because I think Hosetu, he just came back. He's trying to get his bearings a little bit in terms of match fitness. I think, you know, two back-to-back games. Yeah, we're chopping and changing again, but I think, until we have guys that are really, really match fit, we almost have to until that is the case. But so, yeah, for me, Sosa and Ibarra. But, into the attacking midfield, what do you think?
Yeah, I have Araújo, Almada, Moreno. Last week I had Moreno in the middle and Almada on the left, kind of flip-flopped them. But, I think, yeah, they just have to gain that chemistry, learn how to play with one another, because it's a bit of that, you know. They're still learning. I think Araújo, as you said, probably still regaining some sharpness. So, but yeah, keep rolling with it. Those are definitely your three best attackers. There's no need to bench one of them right now.
Yeah, fully agree. It's likewise, Araújo on the right, Almada in the middle, and Moreno on the left. Now, there was a Doug Roberson article on the AJC that was more or less calling out Marcelino Moreno, and there are some other I think fans that are calling out Marcelino Moreno as well, saying he basically dribbles with his head down and will keep the ball for too long. Yes, I think he's guilty of all those things. Does he play hero ball and carry us at times? Yes, absolutely. That is true as well. Does he fit absolutely in the squad? He's one of our better players for sure. He's leading us in a lot of different types of categories, not only last season, but this season as well. An eye for the clutch moment. Now, it's that. Like, if we had more continuity, I think, in the squad, I think if maybe he was also given some instruction on, where to be a little bit more where, we make sure that we have to pass and move. Or maybe it's, he plays a little bit more centrally from maybe a central midfield position or something. I think it's very interesting to see what we will do with Marcelino Moreno. And, I think it's at the end of the day, Marcelino Moreno is a player that, he frustrates some, he excites others, but, I think for the blame to be put on and also for him to be called to be transferred out, it's like, it's very, very perplexing. But do you have a quick thought on that?
I thought it was interesting is when Moreno scored, just having no excitement about it. I understand, wanting to make a point, but I think some people maybe are going too far with their agenda. I don't know. It's so obvious to me that Moreno has had a net positive impact on this team. I don't really understand the calls to drop him or even transfer him. That's way too much. Now, what I would say is, the roster construction right now is definitely awkward, because with a 4-2-3-1, you don't really have a true left winger. Or if you wanted to switch to a 4-3-3, right, and you put Moreno as part of the midfield three and Almada on the left, then Almada's kind of out of position. So it's a bit of that. It's a bit of roster construction that's, I think may need to address down the line, but these are still good players, and I think you still can get pretty good production out of all of them. So
right, and maybe that's what it is that, and that's been the criticism a little bit from some fans, is that we are a team of talented individuals, but not a talented team that is cohesive. Right. And I don't know. I think Moreno is a winger. I think he's he can beat people on the dribble. Is he always trying to beat people on the dribble? Yes. Is he maybe always putting a ball in early? No. But is this something that can be coached? Yes. So it's just something that, you know, okay, yeah, you have players that have these tendencies, but now, yes, now it is on the coaching staff to be able to get the best of these players. That's part of the thing.
And to, you know, if, let me ask you this, like, in terms of what fans are accusing Moreno of, is he the only attacker is doing this? Because, you know what I mean? Like, as I said, as I mentioned before, like our attackers in general are typically trying to be two or three guys, right? You know, and we often see the break where the pass doesn't come in time, or it's not, you know, the right length, or the right, you know, it's not hit hard enough. It's just, there's a lot of, I think, little signs that, yes, the chemistry is not there between our attackers.
Right. And I think that's exactly it, is that my frustration with a lot of our previous matches, and especially the CF Montreal match, was that we were too deliberate. We weren't passing and moving. Yeah, there's some verticality, but yeah, there's just not enough urgency in our play until it's too late, until we're down, until we are essentially trying to make up for lost time. And yeah, you know, we need to play from the off with that urgency to put teams to the sword early, and then, yeah, you know, challenge them to get back into the match. Because I think we have the quality to put away some matches, especially with the possession, you know, that we are capable of. So it's really just a lot of, you know, a lot of the factors on the attack side of it is where we need to have the cohesion to know where each player is going to be. There's not enough triangles going on. There's just not players in those spots where it's most successful for us to be able to move together up the pitch instead of, you know, a ball over the top or wherever, and then you have a guy that's now isolated on the wing that now has to pump in a hopeful ball on the head of a player that can't beat those people in the box because he's undersized.
And the box is usually packed at that point. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, that's just one of the factors for sure. But anyway, to finish out this starting 11 is Cisneros for me. Do you agree? Yeah. So I think that's probably pretty close to our best 11 at the moment. Sans, Hosetu, Ibarra, or Hyman. You know, we'll just, I think, figure out who our best midfield duo is until they're all match fit. But, yeah, let's get into that score prediction then. What do you got?
I mean, I'm going to be real, y'all. I'm a bit nervous about this match. So Chicago, you know, they're winless in six. And their attack, despite the big names, haven't really been clicking. Near the bottom of the league in terms of shots on target and you know, chances created, or big chances created rather. However, their defense is weirdly very good. You know, one of the best, I think, near the top of the league in terms of clean sheets, in terms of fewest goals conceded. And I just am concerned because I feel like we've seen this script before, like Montreal, case in point, where teams just sit back, right, and wait. And then, you know, if you have the players to hit on the counter, then you look for your opportunities. And they do, you know, Shaqiri, yeah. Jabilko, the winger Torres, I believe, you know, certainly can hurt us. And so I'm afraid this may be a trap game. And I believe that we're going to take an L at home. Yeah, it's just, you know, I hope I'm not right. You know, I hope the attack clicks, but I just foresee more struggles, at least for maybe one more week.
Yeah. Hopefully you're absolutely dead wrong there, but, I think it's going to be, I think we can take care of business at home. Yeah, more large in part when we've been at home, we, you know, kind of, at least if we leave it late, we can still get it done. So hopefully we can get it done. I think it's a 2-1 win, reverse of yours. And yes, we can walk away with the 3 points and move this with some momentum in the right direction. But what do you guys think? Let us know in the comments below. And that does it for the match preview and pretty much the entire show, except for the question of the day. And the question of the day is, in your opinion, do you think Marcelino Moreno should be transferred out of the club? I mean, yeah, a lot of people calling for his head too, even though he's a guy that scored for us this past game. And
I mean, I would argue he's the player of the season for us last year. There was that stat going around where I think he led us in expected goals and expected assists or something like that. Like, right. I don't understand the calls for him to leave.
Yeah, it's I can play devil's advocate here and say that, yes, maybe he's in terms of some of the people with their argument of saying that he's the example of why we're playing the way we are. No, I think it's that the coaching staff, and it's also to a degree as well, the front office, they need to be able to find not only the continuity, but the identity, and yes, also coach these players to be better. That's what it comes down to. That's why you have the coaches, to make them play as a unit and make them better players. So that's the challenge that we have ahead of us. But let us know in the comments below what you think. Super interested in what you have to say. And that's it for us today. Remember to subscribe to us if you haven't already. Share this episode and leave us a review and rating so we can pop up higher in your rankings. And for Mark, I'm AJ. Thanks so much for listening.